When it comes to weight loss, no two people are the same. That's why Noom builds personalized plans based on your unique psychology and biology. Take Brittany. After years of unsustainable diets, Noom helped her lose 20 pounds and keep it off.
I was definitely in a yo-yo cycle for years of just losing weight, gaining weight, and it was exhausting.
And Stephanie. She's a former D1 athlete who knew she couldn't out-train her diet, and she lost 38 pounds.
My relationship to food before Noom was never consistent.
And Evan, he can't stand salads, but he still lost 50 pounds with Noom.
I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. Even through the pickiness, Noom taught me that building better habits builds a healthier lifestyle. I'm not doing this to get to a number. I'm doing this to feel better.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom users compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
CinemaSins has a fan club. It's called the Sin Club, and members get all sorts of things like early episodes, bonus videos, merch discounts, and even monthly bonus podcasts. Membership starts at $3 a month, and you can sign up now at patreon.com/CinemaSins.
See, that, if that happened to A Few Good Men, that would be the problem. You know,
yeah.
They were in the courtroom and decided, I think we should go after him. I think exactly. He wants to admit it.
Welcome to Sincast, presented by CinemaSins.
All right, everybody, welcome to the Sincast. This is Chris Atkinson from CinemaSins, joined by Jonathan Watkins from CinemaSins.
Hello, hello.
Today we're going to be doing a mini-pod of Rogue.
Rogue.
What's Rogue? What's Rogue, you may ask? it is a movie in which Megan Fox and a team of it's another kind of an extraction movie, right?
It's extraction with a lion, right?
Yeah, it's Megan Fox taking on lions, guys. Megan Fox taking on lions and sex traffickers.
Yeah, exactly. Sex traffickers.
That's right.
That's not funny. I don't know why I'm laughing about that. That's terrible.
It is not, but it's you know, you write it down on paper, it becomes a whole different
interesting
thing.
Premise.
It's directed by MJ Bassett, who wrote this with her daughter Isabel Bassett, who briefly is in the movie. I think briefly in the movie.
Yeah.
We don't get a good look at some of the people who are in this movie before they, go on to do other things in the movie.
Is this your first MJ Bassett movie? I was looking
is.
At her. Yeah. Her first like three movies. What are they? It was that Death Watch, Wilderness, and Solomon Kane. Those are like ones that have always been on my radar,
but I've
never actually watched them. This is the first one I've actually sat down and watched. I will say I'm interested to see what else she's done.
Yeah, and she did a Silent Hill Revelation, which I haven't seen that. I've seen the original Silent Hill, but it looks like she went on to do a bunch of TV series and everything, and then now she's back doing movies. She did all these movies back in like 2002 through 2012, and now she's back on this. Looks like it's kind of. It feels like a movie she sort of felt compelled to make.
I agree. There's apparently a sequel to Inside Man. I guess it was like a direct-to-video sequel to Inside Man called Inside Man Most Wanted. Did not
really?
Know that existed. Yeah.
Oh,
Which is weird because I know Spike Lee has talked about directing a sequel to that movie, but I guess maybe it's like the Universal Soldier thing where they just went ahead and made some.
Oh yeah, that was just last year she did that.
Yeah.
So yeah, this is not the return.
This is probably the return to like bigger. Like I feel like this is more of a. I don't know how many theaters this is going to be in, but I feel like this is more of like a theatrical thing as opposed to that.
Mm-hmm.
That would be my guess.
But. Yeah, I guess so. So we'll just briefly go over the story of this. If you're familiar with the movie Extraction that came out earlier, I mean, I guess just in general, I can just generally refer to Extractions and people know what I'm talking about, but this is, there's a whole bunch of stuff going on. There's a team that was hired, led by Megan Fox, who go in to, it's some place in Africa, I believe. I don't know where it is in Africa. It's like a camp with a whole bunch. They keep all these lions and stuff in it. And you're thinking, oh, okay, they're doing something with the lions. And they definitely are. There's something illegal or immoral going on with the lions there. and you think, well, maybe they're trying to save the lions, but then you find out that no, they also have, they've kidnapped some women, and one of them is the daughter of a governor in the UK. Mm-hmm. And that's the one that that's the girl that they have been sent to save, but they find out that there are others in there, and then they have a decision to make whether or not they're going to save the other two, which is kind of fucked up. Mm-hmm. And from there, the action of this movie kicks in at this point, and the people who run the camp chase after them. Our heroes end up in another like abandoned camp where they used to do all this lion stuff, hide for a while, and they're trying to get a radio up so that they can get a helicopter to come out and save them because their other rescue was unavailable. So that's the basic premise of this movie. Megan Fox is the sort of the badass chick. And of course you've got a female director and you have a mother daughter writing team. So there
female
is
female lion.
Yeah. Female lion. You get to, it's basically a feminist, look at an action film, is what it comes down to. So it's got a lot of that embodiment of spirit and everything. So, what did you think about this movie, Jonathan?
It's Extraction meets Crawl, right?
I can see that.
I will say there were quite a, I thought it was kind of fun. I actually, that opening, once they go in and extract them, I thought that whole action sequence that followed after that was actually really well done. It was, I don't know what I was expecting. I mean, I didn't know what the, budget on this was and what, how high of a level of a movie this was. So I wasn't sure what was going to be going on here. So, that kind of surprised me a little bit, I guess, but, I had fun with it the whole time. I wish the lion looked better. You definitely get that sci-fi movie, like, yes. Lake Placid sequels.
It's Sharknado. Mm-hmm.
I wouldn't say it's that, but it's not going for that level. Like, it's not trying to be funny. So it kind of takes away a little bit of the, especially the attacks when the lion's just kind of looking at them. It still doesn't look great.
Mm-hmm.
But when it attacks, the attacks are not super great to watch. But I just think that's probably just a, that's probably a budgetary issue, or I don't know the CGI they use. I don't know. I mean, CGI is always kind of a crapshoot anyways, even in a movie like Crawl that clearly had a lot of money, something behind it.
Mm-hmm.
The alligators don't look very good in that either. So I think that's just a current issue that we just have with these kind of movies.
Yeah.
But I had fun with it. I mean, overall, it was fun. Like I was never bored, and Megan Fox is good, really good in it. I've always liked her though. There's some pretty fun, like moments, like camaraderie moments between like the team. Mm-hmm. And, I definitely didn't want any of them to die or anything. I mean, I was definitely rooting for them. Mm-hmm. So, that's something to be said. It was entertaining.
For me, there just seems to be a lot of like potential in this movie, and it doesn't always disappoint me, but there are parts in it that I'm like, man, maybe with a little bit more time, maybe with a little bit more money, this really gets rounded into shape and everything. And I don't know. I don't know if more money, like you talked about the action scene at the beginning. I think the action scene is thrilling, but I also, it also falls into the trap that I see every action movie do, where there's just not a sense of what where everything is and what's going on. Okay. And, I truly believe that if you made this action scene, especially when they're on the everybody's on these SUVs or Jeeps or whatever, and they're driving through this desert and they're shooting at each other and everything. I think if you made a coherent action scene out of those things, you'd wonder how in the world is there not there not more people dying during all this stuff, because you would be like, how are these people missing so much with all this, all these bullets? But that said, there are people who die, you know, I mean, death is a very real thing that happens in this. It's not like everybody's just surviving and everything. So, I mean, there is that. But I just get lost in some of these action scenes a lot of times where it's just like, let's show a shot of a bunch of people in the back of a truck firing their guns to something off screen. We don't know. We know it's the bad guys, but we don't know where the bad guys are really at that point. And then let's show the aftermath. Let's show bullets, you know, going off a close up of a door or something like that. And it just keeps going over and over and over again throughout. So like a lot of times I just get lost in those scenes. I'm like, all right, let's get on. Like I said, the actual setup and all the way to the point where they get to the camp is actually pretty thrilling as far as, you know, getting to that point. I just wish that there was a little bit more to the craft of the action scene. And that's my thing.
And I might have missed something, but there were, like, at the beginning, there were multiple lions caged up. And this lioness was one they were trying to, I don't know why they were killing them. I don't know. I assume for meat and
it's like skin and bones and stuff like that. Yeah.
But the lion was kind of like it's still one of the scenarios in a lot. And this happens in a lot of these, creature movies like this where, It doesn't really make a whole lot of sense when it attacks and when it doesn't. I guess.
I agree. When we get into spoilers, I'll really get into that.
But it seems pretty rampant. Yeah, and this is non-spoilery, but it seems pretty rampant right off the bat. But then they've got to set up the fact that the bad guys are getting there, and then it's like where'd the line go for 25 minutes or whatever.
He's full, man. He doesn't need, you know.
Yeah, maybe she was full. Yeah, maybe so.
She didn't need more. She was wait 4 hours and then, you know, get some more. Get some more human. Get some more human.
Yeah, get some more human in her. I'm going to go, I guess you want to just go ahead and grade this and go to spoilers. I'm going to go C+. I think it's right in that range. I can't quite get to B-. I think there are definitely moments that exceed a B-, but but just overall, this feels like a C+ movie. This is definitely a movie I'd watch again. I mean, this feels very like a comfortable, like Saturday afternoon, doing nothing and hey, Rogue's on. But and like I said, I love Megan Fox. I'm always rooting for her. I can't really get past the C+, but it's a perfectly fine hour and 45 minutes.
Yeah, same here. I was going to give this a C+. I can't quite get over there. Like I said, there's just so many things in here that I'm like, if you had a little bit more time and money, you would make these things a little bit more well-rounded and tense and everything. There are some tense moments in this for sure.
Yeah, no, absolutely.
But there's some things that it could stand to do better on. It's pretty clear to me that, this movie was made with the idea of bringing to your attention what's going on with, you know, lions and everything.
Absolutely.
And there's a little blurb. There's a little blurb at the end of the movie that talks about it and everything. And, you know, it's, and that's not the only thing. I mean, you know, you got sex trafficking in this, and you've got, and you've got, you know, just, you have a, that, that may be the other thing, is that there's like three or four different ideologies going on.
Mm-hmm.
You have the Lions thing, you have the sex trafficking, and you also have the political aspect of everything, where, you know, it's, it sounds like in the background there's some really intriguing political things going on, because, you know, while our main bad guy is doing horrible things, he's like, well, you know, it's no different from what this governor guy does every day too, so why do we give him a pass?
Mm-hmm.
And there's a lot of things that could be explored there, I think, that you know, like I said, just a little bit more well-rounded, and we could get a whole a big picture here. But anyway, yeah, I think C+ is a good grade for this.
Yeah, it's kind of like, you know, in the book for Jaws, there's a whole subplot involving like the mafia. Mm-hmm. And like the mafia has money involved in Amity, and that's partly why. And like they rightfully so, they kept that out of the movie because it was just too, it's almost like they didn't keep that part out of the movie. And it's like they did Jaws again, but mm-hmm. they kept the mafia shit in there.
Yeah. But let's go on to spoilers and get deeper into this.
No spoilers!
Kevin Spacey is Kaiser Soze.
He's Luke's what? Father is actually Darth Vader. She's the sister and the daughter.
They just No. I'm reading the books.
I like Megan Fox too, but I don't think she's very good in this movie.
Right on.
And I hate to say that, because I also cheer on Megan Fox. I think she's one of the most misunderstood actors, because she came on the scene and of course she's like put in these Michael Bay movies and turned into an absolute sex pot and everything. And everybody sort of gets this idea of who Megan Fox is based on Transformers movies. And I think that she got a crummy deal there. And of course, you know, what recently came out, where, you know, Megan Fox was what, 16 or 17. And she tried, she had a audition for Michael Bay for Bad Boys 2. And
mm-hmm.
he turned it into the super sexual thing and everything. And, you know, it just, you know, I root for her, and I have seen her, be very good in this. The problem I have with this role in this movie, like it actually sets it up pretty well, because I'm not sure she's much of a leader at first. And of course that's a plot point in the movie. A lot of people are asking, is she really a leader? And, can she really do this job? And at first I'm like, I don't know, what has she done and blah, 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 blah. But obviously she's very capable and everything. She proves everybody wrong. But the thing about Megan Fox in this movie, and I don't know if it's the script or if it's just her, like, if it's just her doing something, it seems like every time she's got to show some sort of toughness, they add a fuck or two to her dialogue. Like every line she yells out is like, and there's some lines that just don't even deserve the fuck, you know, just doesn't deserve mm-hmm. it, but she throws the fuck in there. And I've talked about this before. I'm certainly not a prude or, you know, get offended by any kind of language, really.
No, you're not. No, you don't.
You know, there's none of that. But I do also think that there is, you know, the way you use swearing a lot of times is, you know, you need to watch out what you're doing there. Otherwise, it just becomes a crutch. And I feel like in this movie, it's a crutch. It's a big crutch for her. Every time she's yelling something, she's got to throw a fuck in there. I mean, I think it's literally every time she yells something.
You might be right. No, you absolutely might be right. And not only that, but they kind of almost do the opposite with the guys, which I actually thought this was kind of amusing and always made me laugh when it got brought up. But like, You've got the main guy. I think it's the Philip Winchester character. He plays this guy, Joey. He's great. But he's always singing like a pop song. Like he's singing like Backstreet Boys or... which actually ends up being kind of funny. But at the same time, you know, it kind of makes them seem a little silly. And then she's like really, you know, she's trying to keep everything in line and say, you know, she's you know, not taking any shit, I guess.
Right.
So yeah, I know. I think that's definitely, I think that is partly screenplay, but yeah, I mean, it could be her as well. But I know what you're saying.
But you know, I mean, obviously she rounds into, I think she gets better about midway through, especially when they give her things to do.
Yeah.
Like other than just bark orders and everything. When she, I feel like the movie really, and this is just me, I love this about movies. I love when movies actually tell you what the plan is and what everything, what you need to do and all this. As I think a lot of times movies have gotten to this point where, you know, we've got to be exciting. We've got to get your attention in the first 10 minutes. So let's get right into the action and everything. And we're sort of like guessing at what they're doing. And then they want to keep some things back so that there's some things that are surprises. But when she gets in there in that camp and she's like, okay, we've got to find fuel. Mm-hmm. We've got to get this radio up. And if that doesn't work, we're going to have to try to find vehicles or something like that. I think that's what the plan is. You know, that's where it really gets good and where they have to actually walk to a different part of the camp and have to, you know, deal with a fucking lion. You know, that's the thing that where the movie gets, it's got that almost Jurassic Park where they're going to turn the power on kind of feel to it. And they have somebody who's on a tower who's looking through a night vision thing that's helping them out, you know, to spot the lion and everything. So I thought that was a really cool scene, and that's where I think she rounds more well into form in her character and everything. So,
I agree with you. I'm glad you brought that up about explaining like what they're going to do. I like that too. This is really a weird parallel, but there was when Few Good Men came out, Roger Ebert gave that kind of a negative review, and there was a part in his review where what he complained about was that scene where Tom Cruise is telling Kevin Pollak and Demi Moore how they're going to get Jack Nicholson.
And he
says that, I love that scene.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. That's, I mean, like
that's completely wrong to me.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Like, like to me, that's where like, I feel like Ebert is confusing over explaining something or that you already know with, you know, the actual setup. Like we don't know how that, even though that scene in A Few Good Men is planned out, we don't know how that's gonna go.
Well, yeah, because you don't know that he's gonna come at him and ask him why his clothes weren't packed, and you know, you don't know like all those specifics, right? And I love that scene. I think that scene's great. I think it completely makes Tom Cruise's what he does in the courtroom more believable, right? Because you've seen that he's prepping himself for it. Whereas
they're saying that they're not even sure that they're going to do that, but that's their last thing that they're going to do.
But I love that too. I'm with you, and I think this movie is not anything like A Few Good Men. But I always think of that whenever I think of that type of you know, mentality in a movie, because I always thought that was weird. I always thought that was a weird criticism. I've never understood that kind of criticism of a movie, like. Because it would make less sense if like she didn't explain anything and then all of a sudden she's just kicking ass and
doing
things we didn't know she could do.
Well, a lot of movies will do this where they're like, we got to figure out how to get this radio working, and they don't say anything about what they need to do to get to that point. And all of a sudden you'll just see them walking somewhere and you're just like, what are they walking? And then that's where they have the dialogue where it's like, shh, quiet. We need to get over to the blah, 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 blah to do this and that and the other thing. And you're like, no, this is not where the dialogue would occur. No, See, that, if that happened in A Few Good Men, that would be the problem. You know,
yeah.
They were in the courtroom and decided, I think we should go after him. I think he wants to admit it.
Like he just gets an idea at the last second, like a light bulb. Like God, in the middle.
How bad that would be? Holy shit. Oh,
it'd be terrible.
Like everything in this just feels like everything. There's a great foundation here for everything that I like about movies in here. And it's, like I said, it's just, everything just seems a little bit, just cut short, just a little bit here, just a little bit there. And then, yeah, then you add the CGI lion in there. And
it looks bad. Like it looks. Like,
and I feel like sometimes, and this is a bad thing to say, but I feel like sometimes when, creators really want to make a movie, it may be a little bit too big of a movie to make because of the CGI that's involved, the time you're going to need, the money that you're going to need. It doesn't detract from your message. It doesn't detract from your female empowerment and all that. It's just that really getting into a movie, which is, you know, the hallmark of an A kind of a movie and everything. There's some things that get cut a little bit here and there. Some tension gets cut, some other things get cut, and then it becomes like, oh, okay, well, this is a good idea, but it didn't completely
come to fruition. And Crawl, I know you weren't really a fan of Crawl. I like Crawl a decent amount. I liked it better than this. But I don't know how to explain that, because it's like the alligators look just as shitty in Crawl as the lion looks in this, but... Mm-hmm. Maybe the suspense is just better in Crawl. Like maybe the way they set up the scenes is better. I don't really have a good explanation, because basically any creature movie these days, even all the way back to like Lake Placid, you get that computer creature that just doesn't look that great. The piranhas in Piranha 3D, Deep Blue Sea, any of these that people tout as good movies or fun movies. This doesn't have any worse effects than those, really, but I don't know. It seemed more noticeable here. Maybe it was just the way they chose to shoot it. Maybe they put too much focus on the lion, because there's a few scenes where it's like stalking, and like especially there at the end, which that whole end sequence, I didn't quite understand how she set all that up, but that's fine. I mean, whatever.
Okay. I'm glad you brought this up. This is a big problem for me in this movie.
Yeah, no, this is where I kind of lost interest.
So there's a point, maybe you're not talking, I don't know. We'll see. I think you're talking about the same thing, but there's a point where one of the kidnapped women, runs into the main bad guy, the Zalam guy.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, I'm going to kill her if you don't bring me the governor's daughter. Mm-hmm. And they're like, and so he's like, so she, while they're in that conversation, she looks over and sees the female lion just going into the barn. He's like, ha ha.
About the same thing.
So she goes into the barn and then out the barn and finds the governor's daughter. She's distraught because she killed a man. And she comes up with this plan. And yeah, this plan. She comes back, and Zalam's like, "Where is she?" And Megan Fox is like, "She's in that barn. You can easily take her."
She doesn't want to come out.
She's hiding the fact that she's like, "Well, you can do that so that it doesn't look like I gave her up or something like that." Okay, why does he agree to this though? Why doesn't he just say, you need to bring her out or I'm killing this girl right now? Somebody who's this ruthless, I don't get why he would be like, okay, I'll just wander into the barn. Why not?
I didn't get that at all. And he's not Hans Gruber, but like he's been a perfectly serviceable villain at this point. Like he hasn't done anything like that idiotic or anything to make me think that he would do this.
And then of course, he walks into the barn and Megan Fox walks in with him, and then the two kidnapped girls close the door behind them.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a whole setup for the lion to possibly even, you know, not only eat Zalam, but eat Megan Fox's character as well, because she's sacrificing herself.
Which, what are those girls going to do? Like, yeah. If Megan Fox gets killed, where are they going?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I guess they have, I mean, they still have a couple of people who are still alive.
Well,
at
that's,
point.
Well, then that's, yeah, that's true. I forgot about that. That one guy ends up actually surviving. That's actually a good moment, too, though. I mean, it's really silly, but him and the two guys that are, they're singing the Backstreet Boys and they're about to be killed, and then the guys get attacked by, by the lion,
and they watch this and they don't have any energy. That there's, because even a point where he's like, that guy dropped his AK, do you want to go get it? And he's like, you have enough energy to get it? And he's like, no. And so they're just lying back to back, and then they see that lion eat that one guy, and the guy's like, well, that's a thing that happened.
Yeah, very very reminiscent of Alec Baldwin in State and Maine
thing there. And and then there's a point where he hears like some like whining of some sort, and that's when he sees the lioness's cubs and everything.
Yeah,
but
that confused me. I mean, I guess that works okay. I don't know that I mean, and she did just eat somebody, so maybe she would have just said forget it to Megan Fox and gone, you know, and gone out.
Yeah.
I don't know. That was okay, but it seemed a little silly. But at that point, I mean, I was just like, well, you know, whatever. I mean, they got to get out of this somehow, I guess. And I didn't want them to die. So, you know, I thought they were going to kill Megan Fox at one moment. And I'm like, I don't think I want them to do that. You know, I'm not like, because it's not like that would have made it a better movie. So I was just like, might as well live.
You know, one other thing about the Megan Fox performance, you know, I was a little down on it just because of this weird, like, I got to put a fuck in everything. And there is a possibility. I'm going to open up the possibility that, you know, she is totally written that way in the first 40 minutes, because she, you know, there might be some sort of character trait where she feels like she needs to put the fuck in there, everything that she says, and she needs to act like this super tough way and everything, or else nobody, or she doesn't think that anybody will take her seriously. I will leave open the possibility but I feel like at the same time, it affects the way I think about Megan Fox's performance in the movie too.
Yeah, absolutely.
So it's a tough, like balancing act there. But still, yeah, I mean, don't know what else to say other than
I definitely wasn't trying to say that, and I know you didn't think this, but I wasn't trying to say like she was great or anything, but I thought she was perfectly good for, you know, the role that it took, but I totally get what you're saying.
Nobody should get it twisted. I think she's terrible in the movie. I just think that it's a little bit much, but again, when you're talking about a movie made by women and has a female in the lead as the primary villain and all that, as the primary natural villain, you know there are things in here where there could be a reason for these things to be happening that I'm not aware of, because you know I'm watching this with a dude's eyes. I definitely recognize that there might be a thing about what she's doing in the beginning that might actually be part of what they're trying to sell about this character, because it does. I mean, I thought it was very cool that about, you know, 30 minutes into the movie, the kidnapped women are like, you know, how did she become the leader of this outfit? And they tell the story, and then they go, well, you don't think she can do this job, do you? And they kind of just like, I guess they don't answer that question, right? I don't know if they
say. No, not really, no.
But their silence says everything.
but the one guy, though, you know, the guy, there's one guy that gets, I guess he's like the third or fourth in command or whatever, but he gets partially eaten. And they've got him all drugged up and stuff, trying to keep him alive. And you know, she says something about, what does she say? Or she says, like, you know, I'm a captain or whatever. And he's like, but you're a woman.
Yeah.
And then, you know, and then Philip Winchester's like, whoa, that's the morphine talking. Let's get you,
let's get you
back down. And there's like a lot of, that's the one thing I liked about this movie is there's moments like that. There's also, they do like the kidnapped women, the main kidnap, the one that they're supposed to be extracting, the governor's daughter. I mean, she has that really good scene that, actually the scene you were kind of talking about before that, where she actually does kill the guy. Mm-hmm. That's a really interesting moment that I don't know how much the movie earns it, just because I kept forgetting about her character, to be honest, because they don't give her a lot to do up to that point.
That scene is weird for me because mm-hmm. she runs into that facility or whatever it is, and like there's bad guys all over the place, and one guy is just kind of following her around and just kind of staring at her. Every time mm-hmm. she turns around, he's just standing there. He's not coming after her. He's just standing there. And then finally there's a point where she gets cornered and he gets up behind her and starts wrestling with her and everything. And that's when she like grabs that thing and starts beating the fuck out of him.
Yeah.
But that was just a weird scene. I did like the idea of not only that being an empowerment thing. That's a really other good thing that they put in this too. Not only is that an empowerment thing, but she's also not too happy about having to do that. And that was the thing that they have a character in here who was once part of one of these gangs that helps them out. And I can't remember what his name is.
Oh my God. I totally forgot about that guy. Yeah. That guy got on my nerves.
Is that
Pata or whatever?
Pata. Yeah. Pata.
Sasanda Hina. Yeah. That's him.
Yeah. He brings up the fact that, you know, like, first off, he's part of this gang, these gangs that, are the kidnapped women are like, mm-hmm. what? The hell, why is this guy on your team? And he's like, well, look, I was recruited when I was really young. Then he tells that story about how you're not really a man until you kill a lion is what it was, I believe, in this. And when it came time to do it, he couldn't do it. And then Megan Fox comes up to him and says, you know, the killing is what is the least thing that I think makes you a man. So there is a nice theme there. I thought that was really cool.
He says something too about like it got to the point where even if he wanted to leave, he couldn't, or he thought he couldn't because they would kill his family.
Mm-hmm, right,
and then I
right.
thought that was an interesting moment too. Cause the other girl, cause there's when they go to get the governor's daughter, there's two more women that have been kidnapped that are, I think they were all on a class. Were they all part of a class? Is that what
it was? I didn't hear that part. This is where
yeah.
when we get critical screenings and there's no subtitle. That's the thing that hurts me the most is those little details.
Yeah, but there was like a group of them kidnapped because some of them had already been killed or had been sold off or whatever. I didn't quite catch that.
Well, and they're wearing school outfits of some sort. I'm assuming you're right about that.
Yeah, there's two other women, including hers. So there's three, and then they almost, or maybe there's even four and one. I can't remember. I think there's only two other ones though. And then they question whether or not they're even going to take them. Which in that scene, I didn't really get. Like, even if you're not going to take them, why wouldn't you just let them go? At least they could, you know, they could try to get away or something.
Yeah, but, yeah. That's the thing about both movies we've seen with extractions.
Yeah,
in it, there's these rules that I guess you have to make these tough decisions a lot of times where it's like, well, the job is this, but it's really weird when they're, I guess that happens.
I guess, and part of it could have been the writing in that scene too, because I really hated Megan Fox was given that line where she's like, I hope I don't get killed for doing the right thing. It was kind of dumb.
Mm-hmm.
It was just a weird moment. I don't know. I wouldn't say dumb, but it just, I don't know. It felt very movie. Like it was just kind of a movie moment, you know, it didn't feel very realistic in the situation. But, anyways, the one girl gets killed pretty quickly. She's like flipping out, and then she gets attacked by an alligator, I guess, or crocodile.
I believe is Isabel
Bassett. Yeah, the director's daughter.
Right. Who also co-wrote it. Yeah.
And that's one of those scenes where she's screaming and they're trying to shut her up. And then the alligator, I guess it's a crocodile. I don't know.
Of course, there's a fucking, she's worried about going across the water. And they're like, don't be stupid. And then she gets eaten, you know.
but then the other girl, the Callie Taylor plays a girl named Chloe, who actually ends up kind of being more of the focus, I would say, between the women. Because her and Megan Fox actually have some really... some pretty nice scenes together.
Yeah.
I can't remember what she says to him, but when the guy that was originally a member of the gang, when he tries to kind of, I guess, explain why he would ever do that, you know, she doesn't really, she kind of, you know, fights back with him about it and being like, well, you know, thanks. Or, like, you know, yeah. Just like, I can't remember exactly what it was, but she's just like, I'm still in this fucking situation. I mean, I'm sorry, but you know, it's like, yeah. It's, you know, you're not the only one having to deal with this shit right now. You know, I don't know. It was just, I thought those moments, like you said, were kind of interesting, but then again, maybe that's part of what took away from some of the movie, because it's like the movie, it's like, do you want to just be an animal attack movie or do you want to be something more? And then I feel like something needed to be removed or lessened.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, there needed to be more focus, I think, than there was. And it's honestly a little long too. Like, I mean, I think this movie probably could be about 15 minutes shorter.
Well, it's weird, right? Like I've just said that, that this movie could have used some more, more well-rounded stuff. And I was actually thinking maybe it needed to be longer. And in a weird way, if it were longer, it would have been able to.
Well, there you go. Maybe that's the problem. Then maybe they needed to do one or the other.
Right. Like, yeah. Exactly. Like, there are so many ideas in this that you can't possibly fit it into a 105-minute movie and everything. So why don't we trim some of that and then make it like a 90 minutes type of thing? But then if you wanted to really explore these things, you could have made this like a 2-hour.
And it's, you know, it's also a weird thing too, when you're talking about the whole movie is clearly with that bumper at the end. I mean, it's clearly more of like the real life concern is the animals, which is fine. But at the same time, I mean, I don't know. I mean, I guess the lion they're saying is in this situation because of what was done to her. But at the same time, she's still trying to kill these people. So obviously they're going to try to kill her. I mean, I don't know, you know, it's kind of a weird, it's a weird situation where like the lion is supposed to be the killer, but then I guess they have like the bigger villains or is supposed to be the traffickers or whatever. I don't know. It's kind of a mixed message for me is what I'm trying to say, I guess. Well, and I should say, I make the Jaws comparison. This is definitely, this it has that element to it. It has the creature, it has the animal attack element to it. But obviously, like we've said, it's trying to do other things as well. And it about halfway succeeds. So
yeah. Hence the C+ that we gave.
There you go.
If you guys happen to watch Rogue, go and go to Sincast presented by CinemaSins and comment there. We're also on CinemaSins Twitter, Music Video Sins Twitter. We're on Discord. And if you want to get on Discord, you can go to our Reddit page. On the right side, there's a link there, or you can private message me on Facebook, and I can give you a link there. We're also on SoundCloud. And where can people find you, Jonathan?
You can find me on Twitter at SamLoomis13. And you can also hear me every week on the podcast Behind the Sins with Aaron Dicer and Danae Hughes.
All right. Well, that's going to do it for this mini pod. It's Chris Atkinson and Jonathan Watkins. We'll see you next time.
Thanks for listening. Comment on our episodes on our SoundCloud page. Check us out on YouTube, Twitter, Facebook, and Reddit. And be sure to visit CinemaSins.com.
some comparisons to other Lion movies.
Ghost in the Darkness.
Yeah, Ghost in the Darkness. Now, I haven't seen the Ghost in the Darkness in forever.
I haven't either.
But that's obviously a very male-centric Lion. Oh.
Well, and that's based on a true story, too, right? Or, I mean, well, it's a legend, I guess.
Yeah. But I haven't seen it forever. Do you remember much about it?
No, not a ton. I mean, I remember, the only thing I really remember about it is William Goldman wrote that. And I read his, it's one of his Adventures in Screen Trade. I think it was probably the second one, because that would have been the latter half of his career. One of his books, he talked about working on that. I just remember, they couldn't get the Michael Douglas character. They couldn't get, Michael Douglas was producing. And so they were trying to get somebody to play that character. But it was it was like a man with no name kind of character. Like there wasn't a backstory or anything like that to it. So no one wanted to do it. So finally, Michael Douglas was just like, fuck it, I'll do it. Mm-hmm. And then one of the first things he said after he agreed to do it was, you need to write me a backstory. which was the whole point of, they didn't want to do that.
Yeah,
they wanted him to be more mysterious. So there's this really, William Goldman says it's one of the worst things he's ever written. And it's this scene where people are telling the story of Michael Douglas, over a campfire or something.
Yeah. Right. Did you ever see the movie Roar?
No, but I've heard about that. That's the one with Tippi Hedren, right?
And Melanie Griffith, where they use the real lions.
Yeah,
and,
because they got them, right?
What?
Tippi Hedren had all these animals and stuff at her house. And so they basically filmed a movie using her real life wild animals. And then, apparently there's a scene where it's either, I don't know if it's Melanie Griffith or Tippi Hedren, but it's the lions got them by the neck or something.
Yeah. Yeah. I think several people actually got hurt on that movie, but Melanie Griffith definitely did because she had to have some sort of reconstructive surgery.
Yeah, that sounds right.
And everything. But I meant to watch those two movies before after I watched this. Yeah. I just didn't have any time to do it.
All right, guys. You know what? You want to join the Sin Club? This is how you do this. You need to get on Patreon and go to patreon.com/cinemasins because you can get stuff early. Can get you can get videos early, you can get podcasts early. There's even some tiers where you can get a bonus video that nobody else gets to see. There's two bonus podcasts. Like recently, what did we do? We did Overlord for a Sins video. We did a couple of podcasts. Question was asked, what movie from your childhood could you not watch again? So on and so forth. On CinemaSins, we answered questions that had been lingering, and we went ahead and answered those and everything. So get on our Patreon and take a look at the tiers and see what's best for you. These are just sort of our thank you to all of our members and everything that we're giving this extra content. And there's even stuff like you can choose podcast topics. You can get discounts on merch. We give you some handwritten notes. There's some discounts on fan events. There's all sorts of little things that you can get into from membership. So go to patreon.com/cinemasins and check it out.